Yeah, so good. So we thank God, you know, for another morning. And I was thinking we'll start from the question of yesterday, and which was based on Revelation 22, where we're looking at Eden restored. And we saw that I think the there was the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruits in every month, and then it has 12 kind of fruits, and then the Bible tells us they will no longer of the month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bond servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have the need of light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. So first of all, what we are talking about here is we are talking about the age to come, or rather the eternity, or the life beyond this life. Because remember, at this point, what we see is that there is already judgment. There are already the people who are cast out. They are outside of the city and they're in hell. There is torment, there's judgment, eternal judgment. But then we are in the city. We are in the Holy Jerusalem. We are in that new Jerusalem where the Lord is our light, where it has come as a bride from the Lord. And we are in his body, you know, because the Lord is our tent. And the Bible says that, you know, they tells us that, you know, when we are in Christ and Christ is in God. And you know that Christ will hand over everything to God. You know, at the end of it, at the completion of it, Christ will hand it over all things to him. So we need to look and see and ask ourselves some questions. What is this age to come, and what are some of the clues that the Bible gives us? So now, first of all, when we say that the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, when I look at some commentaries, what they say basically is that it does not mean there will be no sickness per se, but then the people of God will be receiving the life and the healing of God. That means that as they partake of the tree of life, as they have eaten of the tree of life, they that are in heaven, they that are part of God, remember, there'll be nations, tribes, men from every tribe, nation, tongue, you know, all this vast army that, or vast multitude of people from every tribe, nation, and tongue that will be before the throne of God. And you can think that all these nations, all these people will get to heaven. They will... What will heal them? What will ensure there is no curse, there is no sickness, there is no, no illness in them? Remember, in that time, there is no sickness, no tears will be the leaves of the tree of life. That means it will be for the healing of the nations. So the nations here are not the nations that are, you know, that are destroyed or that are judged, but these are the nations that are in heaven. And so one of the things that we come to understand, or we will try to figure out, is that when we are in the people in God, remember now we'll be people from all generations that have been believed in Christ from the beginning to the end. What we can see is that the Bible tells us that those who have served God will be given authority over nations. Now, of course, someone can interpret this as the nations that will be in the millennial reign of Christ, which is okay. And as I said, as just to give this mystery, why I call it the mystery of the age to come, in that we try to build a doctrine based on various scriptures in various places, and then we try to bring it together. Now, of course, we might get it wrong in some places, but when we use the scripture, then at least we know we can use that to build some truth. Eventually, I know someone else might have a different understanding, or at the end of the day, but the most important thing is let's use the scriptures and see the picture that it paints for us. So first of all, so I just wanted to answer that it's you can think of it in two ways. One, it could be in the millennial reign where people are healed, or rather where there will be, you know, when nations are governed. But for me, what I believe the actual meaning will be that there is no death, there is no sickness, and because we have partaken of the tree of life, we receive that healing. So that's how I'll answer that. But then, as you have said, when we are looking at the age to come, one is that there will be nations. Then secondly, you have to say that there will be those who God will place authority over nations in that age to come. That means those of us who have worked, you know, who have labored in the Lord, those of us who have done his bidding, those who have done his will be given authority to judge over nations. Remember when he says, you are my faithful servant, you are faithful with this, I will give you charge over five cities, or over 10 cities. And I think this is in one of the parables of Jesus. So that means that among us, among those who are faithful, part of our reward, part of our inheritance shall be authority to govern the nations. And which are the nations? These are everyone who gets to heaven. And remember, when we're thinking of people who get to heaven, they are those whose work will be burned. Remember, the Bible tells us that some people, there once everyone's work will be tested by fire. Some people should be, everyone should be careful how they build. Some build with stones, some build with grass, some build with hay. But when it is tested by fire, some people will get to heaven, you know, just as if they are escaping the fire. And this is what we call, at times I joke, I say that they will be smelling fire. You know, they will just be escaping the fire. That means that they just barely got to heaven because everything that they tried to build was on their own human power, on their own wisdom. And that, when it is tested by fire, it collapses and it burns. But you see, they get to heaven. Why? Because of their faith in Christ. Remember, our entry to heaven is simply putting our faith in Christ, where it says, anyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So if we are found in the Lamb's book of life, we have access to heaven and we have access to be part of the nations. But you see, those that are faithful in this world, because God is not unjust, the Bible tells us he comes with the reward in his hand to give each man according to what he has deserved. Then when we come into that world, we shall be given authority. So those who have served Lord, those who have labored God well, will also have authority, will be given charge over nations, will be given places to rule. And you can imagine, you have in this world, maybe you've not done well, or things have not worked out for you. And if you don't also labor as well in this, by grace, laboring again by grace, not of your own effort, by grace, then in that world again, you will now still be ruled. Yes, you'll be in heaven. There are things that we see about eternity. One, we will have a resurrected body. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, when Jesus was asked about marriage and he was told this brother died and this brother died and seven brothers died, when they get to heaven, whose wife will she be? And Jesus said, don't you know that we will be like the angels? There is no marriage. And we are told that we will receive a resurrected body. When you look at 1 Corinthians, you know, it tells us that 15 verse 52, that, you know, in the twinkling of an eye, you know, that, you know, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That means we will be changed. And for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal man put on immortality. So you see, when this body of ours, and think of the resurrected body that Christ had, when he was resurrected, the Bible tells us he could go through walls, he could enter into a room that was closed, they could touch him, they could eat, you know, they could eat. And remember when we are told about the marriage feast of the Lamb, that means we shall eat with the Lord. So they shall be eating. I mean, the angels have the bread of angels. So there is bread of angels. There is food in heaven. So there shall be a resurrected body. But in that resurrected body, it shall be like Christ. And actually, the Bible tells us that we are conformed to the image of the Christ. So we will all be made like Christ, because our end result is to be made like Christ, and beyond that also, we shall be in Christ. That means we shall be invited into part of the Godhead, part of being the mystery of being in God, and we shall be in Christ. And maybe we can read Ephesians chapter 1, and we can see some verses there that speak of what we call the age to come. Now, when we look at Ephesians chapter 1, let me read it in context so that we get a few understanding. So I'll read from verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, that is in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth in him. And also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of his will, who works out everything in accordance to his will. So if we look at that verse 10, you know, the Bible tells us that everything in heaven and on earth, let me look at a different version that will give us, Amplified says, with regard to the fulfillment of times, that is the end of history, the climax of the ages, to bring all things together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on the earth. And when we speak of fullness of times or the age to come, that in the age to come, God has purpose to bring everything together, both things in heaven and things on the earth, in unity in Christ. So what is that mystery? The mystery is that heaven and earth are going to be joined, you know. And when we see the new Jerusalem coming out of God, what we see is that we are the bride, we are in Christ. So that means things in heaven and things on the earth become one, and everything becomes rolled up in Christ, and then Christ submits himself to God. So the whole heaven, the whole earth, everything that will be remaining that is righteous, that is of God, that has escaped the judgment, will be joined in Christ. Now, if you go to the end of that chapter, Ephesians 1 verse 19, it says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? This is according to the working of his strength, of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come, or in the one to come. So now here where we get the phrase, the age to come, that means that Christ has been given authority far above all power, all dominion, all rule, and he has been given the name that is above every other name, that not only that name is greater, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. That means also in that new world, Christ's name is above every other name. So when we are in Christ, when the Bible says we are seated with Christ, that means we will also have the authority that Christ will have, and he will govern through us. He will govern the nations. He will give us authority. So everything in heaven and on the earth shall be gathered to him. And 2 Corinthians 15 verse 24 tells us, then the end comes when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And you know, and it continues to say, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is exempted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So in Christ, all things in heaven and on earth will be joined. You can imagine it's like a merging. Everything will be merged in Christ. Remember, in that city, we are in Christ, and Christ is our light, and we are the walls. And that's why when we speak, he is our head, we are his body. So we are in Christ, and that's why we are seated with him in heavenly places, and we shall rule with him, and we shall be in him. And among us, there will be nations, there will be all of us, there will be nations, there will be those who will be given authority over nations. Remember, the Bible tells us we have an inheritance. That means the inheritance of the saints is that new world. There will be a new age to come. There will be a new world which God will work out. He knows how it will be. The Bible tells us we can only see in part, but when the fullness comes, we shall know in truth, in totality, as we shall be fully known. Remember, you know, when he says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, because for now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for now we see as in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know as I am fully known. So God is telling us that, yes, right now we can only see a glimpse of it. We can only see just an imagination of what it shall be. But what we can, if our minds are able to comprehend, everything will be in Christ, will be in his body. But even within his body, we'll have the nations, we'll have those who will be given authority over nations. Heaven and earth are joined together. There's a new heaven, there's a new earth. And the Bible says, and Christ shall submit all things under his feet. Now, I also want to see some verses. And one is that in that time also we shall judge angels. Now, how, and you see, that's where the, you know, the Bible tells us that we have, we should know that Christ has placed, or who is the Son of Man, that God in his ranking, he placed God, then right after God, before the angels, he has brought in the Son of Man. And who is the Son of Man? Christ. And by bringing Christ there, then we also, men who have believed in Christ, are also brought next to him in rank before the angels. So the angels, that's why we're not supposed to worship angels, because in rank we are higher than angels. Now, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says that, does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare go to the law before the unrighteous judge, unrighteous, and not before the saints? And this is speaking about disputes in the church. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Okay, so we'll judge the world. And then it says, if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the matters of this life? So, and it continues, I mean, they're arguing, and he tells them that, don't you know that we shall judge angels? So that means that in the age to come, we shall have authority over angels, and we shall judge them. And for me, I'm thinking, these are the fallen angels. Remember the angels that sin. Remember when they are judged. And in that judgment, when we are judging all things, we are judging as well in Christ. Remember, it's Christ who is the final judge. But because the Bible tells us of this mystery, that we are in him, and he invites us to sit with him in heavenly places and to rule with him, likewise also, we are also partakers of that judgment. Now, another thing that we are, we maybe I missed out in the point, is the knowledge. There will be fullness of knowledge and revelation of God, which I've mentioned, that we know in part, but then we shall fully know, because love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, 8 and 9. And so it tells us that there will be a fullness of knowledge. And remember, the Bible tells us that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So in that time, we shall be fully known and we shall know him. And then also, they will also be powers of that age to come. Now, when we look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it speaks of the person who has fallen away. The Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and of the powers of the age to come." Remember again, the age to come comes here again. "If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Now, what is this telling us? That in that time, there is a powers of age to come. And the Bible tells us that even in this present world, we can have a foretaste. That's why we experience healing now. That's why we partake of the tree of life, the leaves that are in the tree of life, which is for the healing of the nations. Why? Because even in this time, God is able to heal us. God is able to heal nations. And we partake, we have a foretaste of the powers of that age that is to come. So now God was warning us in this word that it is impossible. Like right now, we have been enlightened. We are growing in light. We are understanding the things of God. We have tasted the good word of God. And we have had a foretaste of the powers of the age to come. When you tell a blind eye open and the eyes open, that is a power of the age to come. In fact, I came to give us life and life in abundance. When you think of that eternal life, that abundant life, actually, someone was describing it as the literal translation should have been the life of the age to come, that Jesus came to give us life and life. And that life is the life of the age to come. That means it was so abundant that it is for you to know that the life that you're being given is not just for now. It is eternal. That means you are experiencing the life of the age to come. That is why we have a foretaste of that age to come. And when we walk in glory, when we walk in the grace of God, we experience that and we live in that age to come. Then also, and we can see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, which is what I've talked about, the authority to rule over nations. And the Bible says that he overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with an iron rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. As I have received authority over my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the nations. But what I can, even as we conclude, what I will say is the Bible gives us certain clues of that age to come. Now, if we believe it, and because God's word is true, the reality is that we shall experience it. It shall be a new heaven, a new earth. There'll be no more death. We shall be like angels. We shall have the resurrected body. We shall be in Christ. Remember, he's going to prepare a place for us. We shall judge angels. We shall rule over the nations. Those who have served well will be given authority over nations. The river of God shall flow. We shall have his light, and all things in heaven and on the earth shall be gathered into one in Christ. And that is our final destination, where we are conformed to the image of his Son. For those who God foreknew, he called. For those he called, he predestined. You know, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God's desire, and in the age to come, is that each of us shall be made like Christ, and we shall be made in him. We shall be in his body, but even within his body, we shall be nations. We shall have our mansions. Remember, it says that I have many houses, many mansions, many rooms, and we shall have the streets of gold, the streets of clear gold, the streets of life, and each of us shall have an inheritance based as well on how we have labored for Christ. And that's the grace of God. And that's why he says, someone will want to sit on my right, on my left. And it's not for him to give, but it's for those who God has given from the beginning of the world. That's why he said, men will come from the east and from the west and will take their seat. And we shall reign with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And there will be worship. There will be singing. There will be so much. But there is an age to come, and I pray that God will give us a picture of that and a desire for that eternity. And the Bible continues to tell us that he who that is filthy, let him be filthy, but he that is righteous, let him practice righteousness, because behold, I am coming soon. And it will be a beautiful, beautiful place to be in eternity. So I'll stop there, and my sister, you're welcome for questions and reflections. Over.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Yeah, there is a lot to learn. When we begin with you, that's all I can say. For now, we believe. Amen. And they're looking forward to even learn more when we begin with you. Over.
Amen, amen. And yes, well, it's to look forward to it and to long forward to that new world to come and that new Jerusalem and that being in Christ and in God and to experience that authority. And let us pray. And you know what the Bible tells us is that we can have a foretaste of that. We are called to that life even in this present world. And the Bible tells us that, you know, we are in... By faith we access, by faith we receive eternal life, and we receive that life to come, that life, that abundant life, that life is to come. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you, I give you glory, I thank you that, Lord, you have spoken to us in a language that we understand. Indeed, there is much for us to learn and much for us to desire, and I thank you for your scriptures that keep teaching us and challenging us and calling us forth to try and gaze into that light, into that majestic light that you have called us to walk in. And we ask of your mercies, cleanse us, forgive us, O God, for our failures, indeed areas that we go wrong, that we fall short, that indeed we may not miss the mark, O God. I plead your mercies over my brother, my sister, who desires to come to truth and who is ready to be your child. And Lord, you accept them even as they confess their sins. And I pray for healing. I thank you for the leaves of the tree of life that are for the healing of the nations. And indeed, we can experience that healing even today. We can partake of that, that our nations can be healed, the nations of the earth can be healed, the nations of ourselves, the nations of our families can be healed. And I pray for healing to flow in us, to flow in our lives from that river of life. May it flow and yield fruit in our lives each and every season, each and every month, because Father, indeed, that is your purpose for us, that we bear much fruit. And I rebuke sickness. I come against the attacks of the evil one. I pray for your supernatural provision. Indeed, may your children never lack and experience grace and provision in all things, even as we partake and we go to do our various things. Go ahead of us, sustain us, and keep us, O God. We honor, we trust you, and we depend upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, indeed, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.
Same to you, and thank you. Bye.